Thank you, Nicholas, for leading those songs and for the good prayer, and thankful for this time we have to come together around the Bible. We have visitors with us, and we're glad to see you. Want to talk to us for a few moments about attitudes of forgiveness. The Bible often talks about forgiveness. In the companion epistles, Ephesians and Colossians, Paul talked about it, like in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. When he said, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." As well in the Colossian letter. Notice in chapter 3 and verse 13, it is said, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." We might ask ourselves the question, how's my attitude when it comes to forgiveness? You know, there are different attitudes about that, and I'd like to call some attitudes of forgiveness to our attention this afternoon. I begin by pointing us to a familiar story in Luke chapter 15, where the Lord told about three lost things. He talked about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. In connection with the lost son, you remember that he came home. And he said to his father, as recorded in verse 21, "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." I believe that's a good attitude, in that he said, "I have sinned." He recognized that he needed forgiveness. But then notice, by way of contrast, the reaction of the elder brother. When in verse 28 the Bible says he was angry and would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." And so we might ask ourselves the question, what's my attitude about that? Is my attitude, "I have sinned," or "neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment"? Here you have one who recognized he needed forgiveness. When he came to his father and said, "I have sinned." And then the elder brother acted as if he had never at any time transgressed the commandment of the father. I wonder, who are we most like? But also, when I think about attitudes of forgiveness, I believe that there's a wonderful attitude that was displayed by Moses back in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 32, if you're familiar with the scene, Moses has been up in the mount to receive in the mount of God the commandments of God. The people quickly turned aside from God's commandments, among which he said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee." And within a period of time, less than a month, the people have made a golden calf. And when you read that story, you have to be impressed with Moses and his attitude about forgiveness. When he said in verse 31 of Exodus 32, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold." Now listen to this statement. "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Isn't that some attitude? As Moses said, "Forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Would you have said that if you'd been Moses? That's a good attitude, isn't it? I thought of another wonderful attitude when it comes to forgiveness. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, when David was on the run from Saul, and he met up with Nabal and Abigail. Remember that story? How that David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep and sent out 10 young men. And the request was, as recorded in verse 8, "I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And you remember how selfish Nabal was in verse 11. He said, you might circle or highlight these personal pronouns as he refers to himself. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? Pretty selfish, wasn't he? And his wife comes to the scene and intercedes. Notice one of the statements that she makes. In verse 26, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. Now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. I believe Abigail displayed a great attitude toward forgiveness when she said, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. You might like to underscore that. But in addition to that, as you come over to the book of 1 Kings in chapter 8, this concerns the dedication of the temple which Solomon built. And what a scene it was as the setting finds the people sacrificing before the ark sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And at that occasion, Solomon uttered one of the most beautiful prayers of all the Bible. And he petitioned the Lord for forgiveness. Notice some statements. Like in verse 30, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, what's that next word? Forgive. Drop down now to verse 34. As he talked about when the people would be smitten before the enemy because of sin and would turn again and pray, he said, hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. Now, verse 36. Again, when heaven is shut, no rain because of sin, and they pray, then hear thou in heaven and what? Forgive the sin of thy servants. Verse 39. When there's famine, pestilence, blasting mildew, locust, and such, and prayer is made by any man, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive. You might underscore that. It's a recurring theme, isn't it, in Solomon's prayer at the temple dedication. Now drop down to verse 50. Forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all their transgressions. You might say that Solomon's prayer was a prayer of forgiveness, as he recognized the people of God would be in need of the forgiveness of God. And then the psalmist uttered a great attitude toward forgiveness when in Psalm 25 and in verse 18, he said, look upon mine affliction and my pain, now listen, and forgive all my sins. He might underscore, forgive all my sins. Isn't that a good attitude? If you'd been the psalmist, would you have made that statement? Would these words have been recorded? Do you desire God to look upon your affliction and your pain and to forgive, to loose you, to free you from all your sins? In the book of Matthew in chapter 6, as you think about attitudes of forgiveness, the Lord is preaching on a mountain, the great Sermon on the Mount. And amidst his preaching, you know what he talks about? Forgiveness. He gives what's called the model prayer. It's not a prayer to be vainly recited or repeated. It was just that purpose, a model prayer, as he taught the disciples how to pray. And in verse 14, he said, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He taught them to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so a good attitude is to forgive that God might forgive me. Isn't that a good attitude? That I'm going to forgive others so that God will forgive me. Do we recognize our need for forgiveness? Did you know that when we begin to place limitations and restrictions on our forgiveness, we're limiting God's ability to forgive us? You know, that's true of giving. That God gives as we give. Have you thought about that? Like in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so, not only does God give as we give, He forgives as we forgive. Have you thought about that? Forgive so that I can be forgiven. And some may act as if they have no wrong, they don't need any forgiveness. Let me ask you another question. 7 times or 70 times 7? As you think about attitudes of forgiveness. Remember the book of Matthew chapter 18. Peter comes to the Lord with a question on his mind. He said in verse 21, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Then he said, till 7 times. What do you think about that? Think that's generous enough? 7 times? How did the Lord answer that? I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. 490 times. And so my question is, 7 times or 70 times 7? You know, there may be those who'll keep a record. Love keeps no record of wrongs, does it? The point is, there is to be no end to our forgiveness. It's not that, okay, it's 489, I've been keeping track. So you got one more. And I don't have to forgive. I'm not obligated to forgive you anymore. No. He told a little story about the unforgiving servant. Remember that? How a certain king would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. It's an enormous amount that he owed. He didn't have to pay. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. That servant fell down. He was begging for mercy, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. What a relief. But notice the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Very small in comparison to the debt that he had been loosed of. Look at his attitude. His attitude at one time was, have patience with me. Now look at his attitude. Pay me that thou owest. As he took him by the throat, can you see him with his hands on his neck? Pay me what you owe. And this fellow servant fell down to his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. So the situation's reversed, isn't it? He needed forgiveness. Now someone's asking of him forgiveness, and the Bible says he would not. You might underscore words like that. He would not. He would not what? He would not forgive. He would not be moved with compassion. He would not loose him, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Can you imagine that? Those are two attitudes toward forgiveness. 7 times or 70 times 7. And have patience with me, or pay me that thou owest. Where do we find ourselves in the midst of all that? His fellow servants were very sorry, told their Lord, and here's what the Lord said about it. Verse 32, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Those words ought to touch us. As we recognize our need of God's forgiveness, a debt that we could not begin to loose ourselves from, And then somebody does a little something to us, and we want to hold on to that and we'll not forgive. The Lord said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let me think with you about another attitude of forgiveness. It's one of the seven sayings on the cross. Does that ring a bell? When in the book of Luke, chapter 23 and verse 34, as Jesus, in his dying breath, uttered these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's quite a statement, isn't it? That's a model. That's a great example for us when it comes to forgiveness. As they had led him away to be crucified, he had a mock trial, he was scourged. We can't begin to imagine the agony and the suffering that he went through. And yet he had the spirit to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can we do that? Would we have that same spirit of forgiveness? Would that be your attitude toward those that wrongfully treat you? Father, forgive them. Another good attitude of forgiveness is in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. When Paul, writing the church at Corinth, said, forgive me this wrong. Did you know Paul asked for forgiveness? What was he asking forgiveness about? Well, he said in verse 13, for what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you. That goes back to what was written in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And that is, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And he talked about how that he had the power or the right to eat and to drink. He had the power or right to lead about a sister, a wife, to forbear working. And he talked about who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof, or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock. And he cited some Old Testament passages that supported that idea, like, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. And he asked some questions about sowing and reaping. And in verse 13, do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And he said that he had not exercised that power, that right. In verse 12, he said, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And so Paul made a decision not to exercise that right or that power, and later he apologized for that, for not taking the support that he should have, because he said, I made you inferior to other churches. The church at Corinth had become an inferior church. Why? Because they did not support the preaching of the gospel like they could have or should have. And so it's wrong for a preacher not to be supported, not to take support. It's wrong for a church not to support the preaching of the gospel. And Paul said, forgive me this wrong. That's a good attitude, isn't it? As he had their best interest at heart. He said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Verse 15. Good attitudes of forgiveness. One other one I want you to think about. If you were to have your Bible and be in this pulpit and you were to talk about attitudes of forgiveness, you were to make one more point. Don't answer out loud, but you think about what it might be. Another occasion of forgiveness, a good example. How about Acts chapter 7? Is that what you're thinking of? Ring a bell? When Stephen found himself in situation where men had set up false witnesses against him. They said, we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And he had occasion to give answer to that. He's before the council. He gives his council defense. And they didn't like what he had to say. The Bible says in verse 54, they were cut to the heart. Now, that's not always a bad thing, being cut to the heart. That happened on Pentecost, remember, in Acts 2, when they were pricked in their heart. And that was a good thing. Because when they were pricked in their heart, they said, what shall we do? When they were told what to do, about 3,000 of them did it. But on this occasion, when they were cut to the heart, it was a different reaction. They gnashed on him with their teeth. And they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, as they had cast him out of the city and stoned him. And as he was being stoned, Stephen, calling upon God, said in verse 59, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. What did he cry? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Would that have been your attitude? Would that have been my attitude if we'd been Stephen? To have been able to say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. As far as I know, that was his dying statement. Think about his last words. Lay not this sin to their charge. Take a strong man, wouldn't it, to be able to say something like that. And so as I thought about those words of Paul in his Ephesian letter and the Colossian letter, forgiving, I got to thinking about how there are different attitudes about that. And that not everybody, every time, always has the proper attitude toward forgiveness. Just like the elder brother who had the attitude that he didn't need forgiveness. He'd never transgressed the commandment. There are folks like that today, aren't there? That are self-righteous. Act as if they've done no wrong. But then there's the attitude of the younger who said, I have sinned. And the Bible says all have sinned. I believe that's something that we need to recognize, that we stand in need of forgiveness. John wrote about that in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. There are two things that happen when we claim that we are without sin. One is we deceive ourselves. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And the second thing that happens is we make God a liar. Verse 10 records, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And the reason we deceive ourselves and make God a liar is because the Bible teaches that we have sinned. We need God's forgiveness. And I believe that when I recognize how much forgiveness I need, I believe that makes forgiving others a little bit easier, doesn't it? Would you have the attitude of Moses, blot me out of thy book? Or the attitude of Abigail, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid? Would our prayer have been the prayer of Solomon, forgive the sin of thy people? Would we say, as the psalmist, forgive all my sins? Is it our attitude, forgive us as we forgive our debtors? Would my attitude be seven times till seven, thinking that's sufficient, that's generous enough? Or would it be 70 times seven? Would it be have patience with me? Or would we demand, pay me that thou owest? Would we have the attitude of Jesus when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? If you had been Paul, would you have written, forgive me this wrong? And if you had been Stephen, would you have been able to say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge? All of us stand in need of forgiveness. And at one time or another, we'll find ourselves in a situation, undoubtedly, where there'll be others who will need our forgiveness. What will our attitude be about that? So thankful that God has seen fit to be a forgiving God, that He's a merciful God, He's a God of compassion. And in His grace, He sent His only begotten Son to make that forgiveness possible. You think about the lengths to which God went to provide the opportunity of forgiveness. We didn't deserve it. But God, in His grace, made it possible. the grace of God that bringeth salvation, as Paul wrote about in Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12. That God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He forgave those who certainly did not deserve to be forgiven. And yet sometimes we think that somebody does something to us, says something that kind of rubs us the wrong way. I'm not going to forgive. And sometimes people talk about forgive and forget. I don't read where the Bible uses that word forget, only in connection with the fact that the Lord says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Sometimes there are things that hurt, aren't there? That penetrate deeply. And it's not always possible to forget, though we might like to. But you know, we don't have to talk about it. We don't have to bring that up, and we can try to put that behind us, as Paul talked about forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. If God forgave you as you forgive others, would you be forgiven? Would you? It may be that you recognize your need of forgiveness and that God has provided that through His Son. We stand ready and willing to assist you in receiving the forgiveness of your sins by submitting to the plan that the Lord has in store, hearing His Word, believing it, repenting of your sins, to confess with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Think about it. Sins that would cause one to be forever separated from God, to suffer throughout all eternity. And God is able to forgive that, to make it as if it never happened. Isn't that wonderful? What's your attitude toward that? Would you like to have that? It's available. It's for the taking, if you'll accept it, submit to it. Maybe you've already become a Christian. You've obeyed the gospel, but you've become unfaithful. You once again need God's forgiveness. He stands ready to forgive you. Just like that story in Luke 15 when the prodigal came home and said, Father, forgive me. Good attitude, wasn't it? Would that be your attitude? And when there are those who respond and they come and say, forgive me, I have sinned, would you forgive him? Remember when in 2 Corinthians 2, Paul talked about the brother that was to be put away, and he had been restored, and he said, forgive him. Would we have that attitude of forgiving and comforting, or would we have the attitude of this thy son, and not have the attitude of being able to refer to him even as our brother? I've never transgressed thy commandment. What arrogance. We need God's forgiveness. And if you stand in need of that in any way, and you find yourself in need of the forgiveness of others, we hope that you'll have the courage that you need to say, I have sinned, to make that right. And whether there are others who will forgive you or not, we can have confidence that God will forgive us. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we be faithful and just in forgiving others their sins. If we can assist you now at this time in making your life right, would you come now while together we stand and sing? Why will you linger, wandering from